Welcome to the 2019 Coachella Valley Workplace Wellness Awards Recap Podcast, presented by HARC, H-A-R-C. HARC is a nonprofit that advances the quality of life by helping community leaders use objective research and analysis to turn data into action. In this special podcast, we'll be visiting with three members of the judging panel to gain some insight into what makes this year's winners stand out. So if you're thinking of entering your business in the Workplace Wellness Awards next year, or if you're just interested in starting a wellness program, you'll want to hear what some of the best practices are. All of our podcast guests were on the judging panel. HARC CEO Dr. Jenna Lacombe-Heinley explains why she started the awards.
I started the Workplace Wellness Awards because, you know, I've spent all these years studying what makes a great workplace wellness program, and we wanted to recognize those people who were doing it well and to sort of build a community of people who were equally invested in workplace wellness that we could potentially work with in the future.
HARC Board President Dr. Janet Collins explains the judging process.
I think there were probably 8 judges, say. We each receive 5 or 6 applications. Every application has at least 2 to 3 reviewers, so it's not just a single set of eyes looking at an application. We're sent the full application and we're sent a scoring rubric for what, you know, we're looking for within those, and we each score them individually, and then those scores are summed and these winners determined. So pretty independent, not really influencing each other. I think each of us has pretty strong backgrounds in this whole area of work, so I definitely know what it is I'm looking for in these applications. The names are taken off, so there's no identifying information.
But what have you entered before and didn't win?
Honestly, I feel like any awards is sort of like a grant proposal, you know? You keep trying and you get feedback and you tweak it and you keep trying and then you get it again. HARC's approach is always to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, and I would encourage other organizations to do that as well. When they do apply, first off, some people say, oh, well, it's not appropriate that I nominate myself, that I nominate my own workplace. It's entirely appropriate. You are the only one who knows what you are doing in full detail. And I think one of the things we really struggled with the first year or two, and that we still struggle with, is there's some organizations that are doing great things, but they don't elaborate it on their form very well. And so to combat that, we now have every organization that applies does a follow-up interview with our staff member, Jerry.
HARC Director of Research, Casey Lear.
Jerry does the phone interviews and tries really hard to dig deep into what they're offering and what they aren't, because sometimes people will fill out the application and not just want to hurry and get it on paper. But Jerry will really prod and make sure that people are answering the question comprehensively.
So do businesses need an elaborate big budget program to be on the judges' radar?
I think it's important for people to realize they're probably doing more than they realize. And sometimes there's hesitancy to apply, and the feelings expressed are, well, we're not really doing enough. But there's so many ways to promote health in an organization that oftentimes what may be just overlooked and not stated would be a really important part of their application. So I guess thinking you don't want to fall in the trap of like, oh, we've always done that, because what you've always done may in fact be a really important part of your application. So it doesn't have to be, you know, really huge, different. I think to be as comprehensive as you can be in your application and cover the things that you are doing is important.
What can companies do to make their applications stand out?
When I look at an application, I'm looking for a couple of things, and there may be work to be done for some businesses to get to this point, but the kind of things that I'm looking for are a more comprehensive than one-off program. So I would love to see something on injury, something on nutrition, something on physical activity. May not be possible for all, but would like to see that kind of comprehensive approach. I'm also looking for applications that have woven these activities or actions into their daily culture. So I'm looking less, well, still fine. I'm looking less for the once a year annual kind of thing, and more so for the everyday sort of thing. One of these organizations does a healthy lunch every Friday for their employees. That's pretty exciting. It's something that reinforces the message every single week. So definitely looking for the more pervasive rather than once a year efforts.
Our judges all agreed applications that got their attention showed how the success of the wellness programs was measured.
Here's one thing really interesting was that a lot of programs sounded really interesting. And as an employee, I would want to use those programs, but only 10% or 15% of the employees were using them. So I'd read this great thing about there were cash bonuses for employees who were doing healthy things, but only 10% were actually utilizing the benefit. They weren't actually getting in on these cash bonuses. So I think employers need to really think hard about how many employees are using these programs, and if they're not, why aren't they?
What was your wow moment in looking at the applications?
The wow moments for me, I think, were reading through the applications and recognizing that certain organizations had really thought long and hard about how to customize their programs for their employees. So it wasn't just this cookie cutter, here's an exercise program, here's a smoking program. It's like, we have employees out in the sun all day. We have to make sure they have water. So they had thought really long and hard about what those employees needed and then gave that to them as a result. There was another one, canvassers, for they go out in the East Valley and they go around door to door. They made sure that the employees had good safety getting back to their cars. So when it got dark at night, they made sure there was a program in place so that employees weren't just staggering out in the dark in the East Valley without any kind of protection or safety. So I thought that was really impressive they did that.
Well, there was one or two organizations that I loved because they incentivized reporting unsafe conditions. There are too many programs out there that are very well-intentioned in terms of safety, but they essentially celebrate not having any unsafe or adverse events, right? Okay, you get a pizza party if it's been so many days without an accident. The spirit of that is wonderful, but what it practically translates to is that people don't want to report unsafe things. They tend to compile, and then boom, you have a tragedy. And so I think it's a very smart safety program that rewards people for reporting unsafe conditions rather than penalizing them.
Another unique aspect of this work is looking for opportunities for the mission of the company or the organization to focus on that mission internally. An example being the Emergency Management Department, County of Riverside. And their work, obviously, is disaster preparedness, safety training for the entire community. But they bring that to bear internally by preparing their own employees, providing safety training, providing information on CPR, on heat illness, on repetitive stress training. So they're meeting sort of the safety needs of their employees, matching to their overall mission of safety preparedness for the community.
One of the other ones I really liked was Renova Energy, one of our grand prize winners. Obviously, they're very invested in energy. We get that. But in their gym, they have a stationary bike that is hooked up to a generator. So you're creating power while you're exercising. And I thought that just really embodied both the spirit of what they do in the energy field and health and wellness.
Any workplace wellness effort is worthwhile. But do the judges have any insight about what doesn't meet the WOW standard?
Everyone does something related to healthy eating and exercise. So it's always a walking program or apples in the break room. So it's not really surprising when you see that. It's like, okay, everyone's got apples in their break room now, which is great. I mean, it's like we're making progress, but it just doesn't really wow you as some of the other programs did.
Can mental health be part of a workplace wellness program?
You know, many of our organizations are doing really great things in mental health. Of course, there's always room for improvement. One of the ones that I was really impressed with this time around was one organization provided a stipend each year for each full-time employee of $1,000 to go to professional development. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. I wish I could have that for my staff because that's something that's too often neglected. But I think one of the things that we do at HARC that I think really benefits our morale is flex time, flex place. When I was studying this, one of the projects I worked on was called ROW, Results Only Work Environment. It's the idea that it doesn't matter when you do the work or where you do the work, what matters is that you get it done on time, on budget, and that it's high quality. That's it. And that is firmly how I run Hark, because if you don't want to come into the office and you don't have any meetings that day, great, work from home in your PJs. You do just as good of work, I'm happy. If the work quality starts to fall off, that's a real problem. But if you are producing on time, on budget, and high quality work product, you can do it in midnight in China, and I don't care. And I literally say that because Casey will do that sometimes. And she'll go to Europe for 3 weeks and work remotely. And that makes her happy, that makes me happy, and that makes me be able to retain a valued employee.
I think more and more it's going to go to work from home more often. The happiest workers I know do not sit in a cubicle 5 days a week. And I'm only in a cubicle probably 3 days a week, maybe two. And I can't even tell you how it's just made my life so much better. And I enjoy my work so much. And I want to stay on top of everything because I want to protect those benefits. And I'll really suffer through any type of work as long as I don't have to be in a prison 5 days a week. I think like what you got to, mental health, there'd be more Tai Chi classes or relaxation or yoga. I think some organizations are doing meditation classes kind of thing. Jobs are really stressful places. So to not have those things in place, offering a walking track just isn't enough anymore. Stress is one of the most unhealthy things an employee can deal with. So helping them with that, I think, is important.
So your company wants to get a workplace wellness program started. Where do you go for information?
I think that's one of my favorite things about the awards is that hearing what other people are doing and thinking, oh, I could implement that. And many of the programs that were highlighted are programs that are free to low cost. Obviously, providing health insurance is a big one, and that has a dollar amount attached. And obviously, providing PTO is also a big one and has a dollar amount attached. But there's a lot of things you can do that are little and free, like putting signs by the elevators that say, take the stairs, it's good for your health, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things I loved hearing was that Desert Cancer Foundation is a very dog-friendly workplace. They have a small staff who work long hours, and it makes a big difference to them to know that their dogs are there with them and cared for.
Oftentimes what we see almost unilaterally or across the board is that efforts start with a health committee that is made up of sometimes managers, but certainly across the board, including employees from all of the walks of life for the business. And that kind of health committee starts to frame what the next step should be. It is employee driven and meeting employee needs. So the next step could be, you know, a number. It could go in a number of directions. Sometimes it's a social direction in the sense of walking clubs that, again, may be started by employees just getting together and with the approval of top management, taking a half hour during their workday to do a walking club. It can be that simple. Sometimes it will be focused on nutritional issues and folks will be able to improve the cafeteria offerings or even the vending machine offerings. There's a lot of directions to go here. The whole wellness area includes nutrition, fitness, safety, mental health. And so sometimes, depending on the particular business, the issues around stress management are very high. And so they will have offerings of yoga or a meditation room or just the ability to walk away from your desk and get some activity.
I think every organization should start with a really open and honest either conversation with their employees or a short survey and say, tell us firsthand, like, how can we help you to be happier and thrive better at your job? And 9 times out of 10, you'll have a whole bunch of responses from people.
For more information, visit www.harcdata.org. I'm Ken Allen. Thanks for listening.